Dr. Gubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. O beloved, it is a joy to taste and see that the Lord is good, to receive the Lord Jesus into our spirit, for he alone can satisfy the hunger of the human spirit. He alone can satisfy the thirst of the human spirit. And, beloved, it's such a joy, such a privilege, such a blessing to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I've known the Lord Jesus now for over 75 years. He's never failed me. He's never forsaken me. He's always been with me. Even when I've failed him, he's been patient with me. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, how wonderful to know the true and the living God. We're studying about spiritual warfare. When a person comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior, the enemy really gets stirred up and gets upset, because beforehand you're under his control. Beforehand, an individual that does not know Jesus as Savior is under the control of Satan, and therefore the devil doesn't give him a hard time because he's under the devil's control already. He's a child of Satan. But when a person opens their heart to Jesus, invites Christ to come into their life, is born again by the Holy Spirit of God, that person becomes a new creation. We're told over in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, 6:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, how wonderful it is to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept him as Savior, to know the forgiveness of sin, to know the joy of the Lord, to know the peace of God which passeth all understanding, to know that we're on our way to heaven. Oh, beloved, what a privilege and a joy it is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept him as Savior, and to be born into the family of God. And that's the joy and the privilege and the blessing of every born-again believer. For God is no respecter of persons. He loves you, my friend, just as much as he loves me. The Lord Jesus died for your sins just like he died for my sin. And, beloved, he loves you just as much as he loves me. And if you will walk with the Lord, if you will allow him to be in control of your life, he will take your life and use it to his glory, to his honor, and to his praise. Now we're talking about how that Satan hates the believer, and how that he does all he can to fight against us. And we're talking about him, and who he is, that he was a murderer from the beginning, that he abode not in the truth, that he's a liar and the father of lies. He's the great deceiver. We're told that he deceiveth the whole world in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. And we're told that he has angels who were with him and who were under his control and his dominion. In Ezekiel 28, we've been discussing a picture of Satan. You recall over in the book of Genesis, the serpent deceived Eve. And it doesn't call the serpent the devil there, but in the book of Revelation it makes it clear. In Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is looking forward to an event that will occur during that 7-year tribulation period that's coming upon the earth. And so we see that Satan is described here in Ezekiel in the form of the king of Tyre. And as this message is given to the king of Tyre, the one in control of the king of Tyre apparently was Satan. And he says in verse 13, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." He describes his beauty, and that he was created, that he was the anointed cherub that covereth. And we saw last time over in the book of Exodus, we saw how that the Ark of the Covenant was made with a mercy seat. And in Exodus 25 and verse 17, "Thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubim of gold, of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat, shall you make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to the other, toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be." And so we see the cherubim were overseeing the holiness of God, for the mercy seat was the place where the atoning blood was shed for the sins of Israel, and where once a year the Day of Atonement would take place, and the high priest would bring the blood, the innocent blood of the Lamb, into the mercy seat and sprinkle it there on the mercy seat before God to make atonement for the sins of Israel as God's chosen people. And so it was a type and a picture of God's Lamb who someday would die on an old rugged cross as a sacrifice for man's sin, that whosoever would believe in the Lord Jesus, accepting Him as Savior, believing that Christ died for our sin, that He was buried, and that He arose again according to the Scripture, shall be saved. For that's the gospel we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, beloved, this is the picture that's given. And Satan at one time was a created being. He's called a cherub that was overruling the holiness of God and the mercy seat of God in heaven. But because of his beauty, he became proud and he became arrogant and he desired to overthrow the throne of God. And thus we see that he was, verse 15, of Ezekiel 28, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee." And thus we see that the devil became proud, he became arrogant. Verse 17 says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." And so God says, "I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thine iniquities, and by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. The judgment of God that would come upon Satan. And Satan, beloved, we're told in the book of Revelation, will be cast into the lake of fire. And so we see this one, Satan, was a beautiful creature that God created, but sin was found in him because of his pride. He became prideful. He became arrogant. He was going to overthrow the throne of God. And thus we see that he was cast out from his exalted position. And though he still has access to the presence of the Lord, we're told in the book of Job, gives us an illustration of that. There's coming a day when he will be cast down upon the earth in the middle of the tribulation period. And here we read in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." That was the pride of Satan. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Yes, there's coming a day that we're told in the book of Revelation when Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit. And there he will be restrained for 1,000 years. We see this truth concerning Satan in Revelation chapter 20. And here the scripture describes about this doom that's coming to the devil, and he will be cast down. He says here in verse 7 of Revelation 20, "And when the 1,000 years are expired," that's when Satan will be loose for a brief period of time. But let's look before that in verse chapter 20 and verse 2. "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more." Till next time, goodbye.